Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. We kick off another week, welcome week at the IU campus in Bloomington. Classes there start next Monday, which means we're getting even closer to the start of the football season later this month. And of course, even a little bit closer to the start of basketball, which still has a little distance between now and then. Glad to have you with us today. Always fun to start a new week. We've got lots of things lined up for this week, lots of guests, and lots of things to talk about. Appreciate all of you that are with us each and every day, whether it's live at 11 o'clock, the replay available most days, not every day, but most days at 3 o'clock here on the Big X, or on the podcast as well. A lot of you clicking through on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast, and we appreciate you no matter how you are with us today and hopefully every day here on the program. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, a couple recruiting things to get to for Indiana, another official visit set for Bloomington, this one from Caleb Love, another IU target who is from Missouri, the St. Louis area. He announced his official visits over the weekend, and we'll talk about that coming up as well. Also, an in-state player makes a commitment to Notre Dame, not Indiana, not Purdue, but Notre Dame. We'll talk about that. And Sean East, he's up at UMass, his UMass team getting ready to play some summer games. Every 4 years, NCAA allows you to take a foreign trip if the school can fund it and if the coaches and administration chooses to do so. And so I think we'll see Sean East at least be able to track how he does later this week with his UMass team. We'll tell you about that coming up as well. Later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with me as always on Mondays. We talk IU basketball. Got to talk some football as we're really close to the start of the IU football season. We'll do that. Some recruiting as well. So plenty to get to with Zach today in his segment. Also, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member. He is with us later in the hour for a talk on local sports, high school football, which I'm going to talk about here in a second. It gets underway on Friday night with some great Week 1 games. Always lots of excitement building up to Week 1. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. Then you get to the latter part of the season. There's some rivalry games, and of course the postseason is fun, but everybody is excited about a new dawn for high school football in the area, and so it's coming up Friday night. We'll talk about that some with Chad and more as well today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I mentioned it's welcome week on the campus in Bloomington. Lots of activities for the first-year students and other returning students. And, of course, I guess you could say in a way it's the kickoff to all the athletic teams at IU, including men's basketball, who the players have had an opportunity, those that wanted to, those that could, to get home a little bit here over the last few weeks and get some rest and take some time off before the grueling, lengthy preseason and, of course, season take place as well with no classes, now classes getting back underway. But this time also a big recruiting time. We've talked a lot about that almost every day on the program. And we mentioned last week Jordan Geronimo set an official visit for Bloomington the weekend of August 30th. And we now know that a couple weeks after that, another very key official visit, I feel like, in the 2020 class will take place for Indiana. Caleb Love, who is from Christian Brothers, which is located just outside of St. Louis, Missouri, he will be making a visit to the campus, an official visit on that weekend as well. That is the weekend of the IU-Ohio State football game as well at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington, and a big, big opportunity to deal with Caleb Love, have him on campus. And, of course, he's a player that is has been very widely recruited and has official visits set up. He announced all of his official visits over the weekend in a tweet that he put out. He's got official visits set to I had it in front of me, and I don't have it with me now, but I'll give you the other visits for him as well. But again, Caleb Love has five official visits set. Indiana's going to get one of those visits from him on the weekend in middle of September. Also, he has visits. Here we go. Georgia, September 20th. Boston College on September 27th. Penn State. I'm actually giving you Jordan Geronimo's visits. I'll have to look back up Love's schedule of visits all over the place here on this Monday. Excuse me. Here we go. Here is Caleb Love's visits. Missouri on September 7th and 8th. Indiana, of course, right in the middle of September, September 12th through the 15th. North Carolina, September 20th through the 22nd. Louisville, September 27th through the 29th. Kansas is where he will close out his official visits in the middle of October. October 12th and 13th is when he's at Kansas. And after that, we'll see how quickly he pares those down to a potential decision. But again, a big player on the board, on the radar. He's been very outspoken that he likes Archie Miller. We'll see how things play out. Again, Indiana in competition with the home state school in Missouri, in competition with some big dogs, North Carolina, Kansas, and of course Louisville is well involved in the recruiting also. So going to be interesting to track that one. Caleb Love, a big name, still on the 2020 radar for Indiana. Speaking of in-state players, though, a commitment to Notre Dame over the weekend, and I can't even say his last name, and I can't find anybody that knows how to pronounce his last name. We're going to call him J.R. from South Bend, last name K-O-N-I-E-S-Z-N-Y. But he had some early interest from a number of programs, Division I programs, was on the IU campus back in June for an unofficial visit and committed to Notre Dame over the weekend. So you can take J.R. from South Bend off the board. He attends South Bend St. Joseph's High School, a member of the class of 2021, so a junior for this upcoming high school basketball season. You know, like a lot of kids, like Anthony Lille just a couple weeks ago when he tweeted about his decision, he put hashtag hometown hero, a kid from South Bend, going to stay in South Bend and play for Notre Dame. But another in-state player that Indiana had watched, had tracked, had had on campus, off the radar as he makes his decision to be an Irish and stay in the hometown. Also, Sean East of UMass going to get some action, it looks like, coming up this weekend. The UMass men's basketball team taking advantage of a trip overseas to the Virgin Islands. They are scheduled to play three games this week. I believe it's all later this week against competition from that country. And, of course, this is a trip that is allowed every 4 years, I believe, the rule by the NCAA, and UMass taking advantage of it. So Sean East, we'll see. Heard good things about his time so far at UMass and some of the off-season workouts and some of the off-season practices. We'll see how he fits in and look to track him and playing time and what sort of role he has in some exhibition games for UMass coming up over the week in the Virgin Islands. So that'll be fun to track. I'll try to get as much information from those as we can to share with you Monday on the program. Also, next Monday, a week from today, we kick off our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. That will coincide with the first Monday after the first Friday of football, which is coming up later this week. We'll make that announcement every Monday here on the program. The winner of the award gets treated to a free 14-inch pizza at Sir Dano's in Sellersburg. We're also going to do a lot of promotion for that player to recognize their great accomplishments each week. We'll have some promotional commercials that will run throughout the entire week recognizing the athlete and the school and what they accomplished to be named the award winner for that week. We'll also do some stuff on social media. We're going to make it a big deal because we have so many great performances. We won't obviously be able to fit all of them in, but we're going to tell you about a couple top performances each week and then pick a winner each week as well. All thanks to a partnership with Sir Dan O's Pizza in Sellersburg. Going to be a lot of fun to work on that every Saturday, every Sunday once high school football for the week has come up. And, you know, there'll be times where maybe it's not even a football player. Maybe it's someone from another sport that had some standout performances that week or a big performance that weekend we want to highlight. And we'll continue this award all the way through high school basketball. Both girls and boys will be following, and into the spring sports as well. Baseball, softball, track and field will be looking to crown a Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sir Dan O's Pizza every Monday here on the program. We'll do that right out of the gate on Monday starting next week. We'll have our announcement for our Sir Dan O's Athlete of the Week here on the Big X Sports Radio. Also, Friday marks the start of high school football. Week one offers a lot of interesting games and the first chance to see some coaches, new coaches in the area, leading various programs. And, of course, everybody hopeful, no matter what they lost last season, no matter how things have went over the summer. This week, everybody is hopeful that they can put forth a good effort and have a solid season in high school football in the area, just as any coach does at the beginning of their season. So week one will be fun, and I'll be in studio. Douglas Scott Wolverton will be producing things. We're going to have all sorts of things going on Friday starting at 6 o'clock. We have the Kentuckiana football kickoff show. We'll be previewing a big game from the Southern Indiana side of things, which is going to be Charlestown and Silver Creek. We'll be previewing a Louisville game of the week as well. We'll have some other games that we'll talk about, but we're going to hear from coaches in that hour, so make sure Fridays, as you head out to a football game, you tune us in for the Kentuckiana High School Football Kickoff Show. It's a great way to preview that Friday night's action here on the Big X. Also, after that wraps up, in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to have red zone light coverage on the radio as we go around the area for updates from various games. We're going to have the opportunity for play-by-play feeds from three games this Friday. Charlestown, Silver Creek, I think, is probably where we'll spend a lot of time. Also, Fern Creek and Jeffersonville. That could be an interesting matchup in week one. And Floyd Central and Mayo, that'll be a big challenge for the Highlanders, and we'll flip around to that game as well. In addition, we'll have some reporters and some affiliates out at different places. We'll have plenty of updates, and I'll give you constant scores and highlights from across the area. So hope you can join us, whether you're at a game or not. It's our Southern Indiana Football Fridays after we get done with the kickoff show. And then when all that's done, we're not completely done for the night because we have the Extremenasium scoreboard show, and that's probably the most fun of the night because I get to have basically every coach on that is victorious in week one of football. They'll join us for a quick chat about the game and who performed well and what they thought of their week one performance from their team. We also will get some media guests on as well and others who were at games to join us and recap everything. And of course, we'll have scores from the area. We'll even talk about some of the big games from outside of the area and around the state as well. The Extremenasium scoreboard show going to be a lot of fun on your way home from the game. Make sure you stream us. Make sure you have us on the radio. We'll have you covered from all angles with high school football this season here on your leader for local sports in Southern Indiana, the Big X Sports Radio. Those are the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Still ahead, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, and an IHSAA Executive Board member. High school football here, college football just around the corner. It's a very fun time to talk sports here in Kentuckiana, Southern Indiana, and I appreciate you being with us today. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with more after this on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is my guest. Zach covers IU athletics for the Star. You can follow him at Zach Osterman on Twitter and read his work at indystar.com/sports. Zach, it's a busy time in Bloomington right now. It's welcome week, move-in week for the 2019, I guess, fall semester, you could say. IU football practices continue, and we're getting oh so close to the first game, August 31st, against Ball State in Indianapolis, and lots of recruiting activity as fans already thinking ahead to Hoosier hysteria and what's going to go on this fall for the men's basketball program. Definitely not a slow time right now in Bloomington.
No. I mean, I think most of us are just trying to hide out anywhere that isn't anywhere near campus for the next 7 days. No Target trips, minimal Kroger activity if you can.
Zach Osterman, our guest. Let's jump in with some basketball recruiting to start our segment today. Caleb Love on Friday, who is a prospect from the St. Louis area in Missouri, announced his official visits. Indiana is going to get an official visit from him on the middle weekend in September, I think September 12th through the 15th, the dates that Caleb Love will be in Bloomington. He is a key piece of a potential 2020 recruiting class for Archie Miller. He's a player that is nationally recognized. Obviously, some big dogs, North Carolina, Kansas, involved and are going to get official visits as well. He's publicly stated that he likes Archie Miller, which you would expect anyone that gets far enough down the line to set an official visit with a college program would like the coach, at least from what they know at this point. But he could be a real talent, a real key to this 2020 class if Indiana can find a way to bring him in.
If you're talking about an intersection between, you know, where a guy sort of stands and is perceived nationally, and I'm not just talking about rankings, but I mean the sort of national perception of how good he is and how college-ready he is, the intersection of that next to, you know, what we know of Indiana's wish list in 2020, I think Caleb Love is as important as any recruit on the board. He got his offer. I mean, he's had an offer for more than a year now. He unofficially visited Indiana last fall, if I remember correctly. As you said, he's scheduled his IU official for the weekend of, I believe that's the Ohio State home football game, so he won't be in town for Hoosier Hysteria. In fact, I don't believe that he's scheduled a visit for that weekend at all, that Hoosier Hysteria weekend, so you wonder if maybe there's just something he's got going on that he couldn't make work. Maybe there's some other factor I'm unaware of, but one way or the other, the reality is you're talking about a player that is as coveted by Archie Miller and his staff as anybody in this 2020 class. He's a point guard, fairly big-bodied point guard by my understanding, and he's a 24/7 Sports has him as a five-star recruit, top 25 nationally, top five point guard in the country. You know, it. We talked a little bit about this in the last couple weeks. Getting Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway in the class now means that you can focus your recruiting efforts a little bit more here. You can spend a little bit more time and a little bit more energy on a smaller, maybe more, specific or confined group of targets. And I would imagine that nobody is going to be getting more attention from Indiana leading up to and certainly after his official visit from Caleb Love.
You know, Zach, I get the feeling, and I'm looking at this obviously from the distance, but I get the feeling that, you know, Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway now in the fold, so that takes care of some in-state priorities. The other guys out there, Matt Cross and Jordan Geronimo, both from up east in the Boston or Massachusetts area, and of course, Caleb Love, of those three, of Cross, Geronimo, and Love, Love obviously probably the most coveted as far as from other high major schools and even some of the blue bloods of college basketball, but also maybe going to be the most difficult and will take the best recruiting pitch and maybe some help from others that commit in the class that can do their part in recruiting him. But he, I get it, is maybe the biggest long shot of those three. Is that a fair assumption? And I only say that because of the other schools recruiting him and because of the national reputation he has.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably fair, and you know, it. I always am hesitant to make big predictions in recruiting, just because, as you know as well as I do, things can change. They can change quickly, or they can change slowly. You know, things can seem certain and set, and then over time, you know, something erodes, or something changes, or something fades. But the reality is that when you're talking about having to go up against Louisville, Kansas, North Carolina. He has Missouri because he's from St. Louis. He has Missouri in that sixth, and then Arizona. You know, I mean, this is as high level of a recruitment as you would imagine Indiana is going to be involved in this fall. You know, you mentioned some of those other guys. We kind of know who the major players are for Matt Cross. You know, Jordan Geronimo's recruitment has developed, you know, kind of late on here. He was one of those guys that had, like, just a great summer and really kind of, you know, rode the wave of that to a lot of new offers and interest and things like that. And there's some other players in there that could potentially kind of come into play, maybe a Jalen Bridges or someone like that. But when you're talking about, you know, elite level recruitments, this is as high level as Indiana's probably going to be involved in this fall, at least based on what we know right now. Again, when you talk about Kansas, Louisville, UNC, Arizona, and then the major in-state school, Missouri, you know, that's a ton of obstacles you have to clear. But I think you'd probably be saying something similar about a lot of those other schools as well. And so, you know, from Indiana's perspective, I think you can't back down from recruiting fights like these. If there's a player that you want, you've invested time in him and there's mutual interest, which there clearly is, then you've just got to do everything you can. And you're not going to win every one of those. You know, you think back to Darius Garland just a couple of years ago, is proof that even when it seems like there's a real reason for appeal there, you're not going to win every single one of those battles. But you do your best and you wind up winning enough to, you know, sustain success in the future.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, one other or two other basketball topics, depending on who you talk to, the IU assistant coaching vacancy from Ed Schilling's departure from the program, which came back, I think, in the middle of June. Some people think that, and I don't know that anybody has an exact timeline or any inside information, but some people think that that announcement or that coach, whoever is going to fill that spot, has to be coming really soon, and some people say any day now. Do you hear anything on that spot that makes you feel like Indiana could have an announcement soon about a new assistant coach?
You know, names have been floating around, I think, for a while. I think there was a decent amount of intensity around it during the evaluation weekend. I think that's probably as much just because that's when you get a lot of people in the business in the same rooms, if that makes sense. And so it's easier for, you know, casual conversations to be had, rumors to be floated, you know, things to be passed from one end of a gym to another. And then all of a sudden it you know, what seemed dormant, even though surely it wasn't, you know, from Archie Miller's perspective and his staff's perspective, is suddenly going to seem very, you know, very, very active. This has always been the point at which I sort of, you know, when people have asked me, you know, just even just kind of random fans emailing me or whatever, I've said that it probably isn't a huge concern until the team gets back to campus, because this is a quiet period for recruiting. You know, you're only just now going to be starting to think, well, obviously Indiana's picked up a couple of commitments here, but I'm talking about what coaches can be actively doing. But you are going to start getting into visit season here very soon. And once your kids get back on campus, you don't launch right into the preseason, but, you know, you really don't, it's not like there's, you know, a month of school or 2 months of school where your players are just kind of screwing around by themselves. I mean, you start escalating toward the regular season, or at very least escalating toward your preseason proper, those weeks leading up to your first game where you're allowed to practice, pretty quickly once kids get back to campus. And as we've talked about before, Ed Schilling was as well known for his player development as anything. And so if you're looking to fill that spot with another guy like Ed Schilling, then that's going to be even more valuable here in the coming weeks. So I would expect it to move fairly soon, if for no reason other than because now is when it kind of needs to. I think you could, if you were Indiana, live on two full-time assistants, plus I think Bill Komar was out on the road recruiting in July as well. You're allowed to do that with a member of your operations staff. If you don't have a full-time assistant, you can elevate one of them on a temporary basis to be, you know, sort of the last assistant out on the road recruiting. I think you can get by on that through a lot of July. But I think that now that you are not thinking about the season in a sort of a theoretical way or in sort of a long-term kind of planning way, but you are going to be starting to put things into motion, get things into gear such that your preseason preparations, you're going to say, we want this to happen by this point, and this to happen by this point, and this to happen by this point. You're starting to turn those wheels, and I think that, it's really probably sooner rather than later, at least in terms of necessity for Indiana at that assistant spot.
Talking to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, another thing that I feel some urgency on, that I think if you look back last year, the Big Ten Conference released the schedule for last season this week at some point toward the middle of the week, if I remember correctly. But that said, I believe we're probably close to not only the Big Ten schedule, which we already know the homes, the aways, the dual home and away matchups. We don't know the dates or obviously the times, and still may not know all the times once the schedule comes out here, we think sometime this week or very soon. But right after that Big Ten release, we normally get the full IU release, and I think we've been able to all piece together so far a great majority of IU's non-conference schedule, including most of, if not all of the big headlining type matchups. But a schedule release could be forthcoming soon. We're at that point of the summer, at that point of the year.
Yeah, it was this week last year, it was like either August 21st or August 22nd, because I was checking dates of like stories, and it's hard sometimes for me to tell. If a story was updated the next morning, then it'll say it was that date, but I think it may have been the day before. Anyway, it was this week last year that the schedules came out, and while, around Indiana, the schedule, for whatever reason, is always protected like the nuclear launch codes, and has been for as long as I've been around this program. So it's not just an Archie Miller thing. It wasn't just a Tom Crean thing. There are schools that will announce this stuff in pieces. There are plenty of Big Ten schools that announce their non-conference schedules over the summer. They're already out there. They're dusted and dried up. Indiana holds on to theirs until they can announce the whole schedule at once, for whatever reason. That's always the way that they've done it. And they've always been incredibly tight-lipped about it as well. They don't like confirming anything. I mean, there have been times, and I'm not trying to pick on Indiana, but there have been times when we've gotten a hold of, like, game contracts through open records requests, and Indiana's still been hesitant to talk about things. And it's like, listen, I'm not trying to jam anybody up, but I'm holding a legal document here in my hand that says this game's happening. One way or the other, nobody is sort of, floating that balloon and suggesting, hey, everybody be by your computer at such and such time on such and such day. But this was the point last season when the schedule came out. I would anticipate that happening relatively soon. I would be very surprised, not even from Indiana's perspective, but from the Big Ten's perspective, if they want this to go on, if they want to go much deeper into the sports calendar without everybody already knowing where the basketball schedules stand. So I think we'll hear about it again sooner rather than later, but that's, Indiana always takes its cue from the conference, and that's as much the conference's decision at this point as anything else.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays. I want to fit a little football in. We are under 2 weeks away from the start of college football, and of course the start of the season for IU as well. Indiana will take on Ball State, a noon game on Saturday, August 31st, that will be played in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. You've had an opportunity, in fact, the last couple weeks you've joined us live from IU open practices. You've had a chance to really get a feel, I would think, at this point for the IU football team and some of the headlines, some of the maybe even areas of concern and some of the areas of strength for this football program as we begin the descent to the Ball State game on August 31st. What's your overall take, and maybe some things that you've been impressed by with this team so far, and maybe some areas, and I know we've talked some about this previously, but some areas of concern as well as we draw close to the season opener?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you talk about areas that impress, I think the wide receiver core is gelling very well. I think we've seen guys making plays, particularly that first unit plus, because you've kind of got Donovan Hale, Ty Freifogel, Nick Westbrook, Watt Fillior, and then you've got some younger players behind them, Miles Marshall, David Ellis, maybe Jordan Jakes, a really tall, long, athletic freshman who's very raw still, but that clearly has that potential. That secondary is legit. I mean, I said going into camp, and I'm only more confident in this now, that I don't think it's the best secondary in the league, but, you know, whatever the first step down from the absolute best defensive secondary in the Big Ten is, that's where Indiana is. Indiana is absolutely in there with the best of the rest, you know, but I think maybe Michigan is out ahead of the pack, but other than that, I think Indiana is just absolutely as good as anybody and as deep as anybody. I mean, we've seen guys moving all over positions there. There's guys who can play at safety and all the way down at linebacker. There's guys who can play at corner and at safety. There's depth at every single position. They're two, if not three deep at every spot. It is the strongest area of this team without question, and I think it's an area that has the potential to really be the anchor of that defense. You know, the big lingering question is still quarterback, and I think it's less of a question if the starting quarterback is Peyton Ramsey on August 31st. If that's the case, then, you know, you can just look at him and say, hey, 21 games, 16 starts, he's got all these stats. He's on pace right now to set virtually every relevant passing record at Indiana. If it's not him, if it's one of the two redshirt freshmen, and you know, this is absolutely me just kind of putting my analysis hat on. This is not like something Tom Allen's hinted at or anything. I think if it is one of those two, it would be more likely at this point in my mind, based on what I've seen, to be Michael Penix. But if it's either of them, then frankly, Indiana needs to get that decision out of the way sooner rather than later as well, because those guys don't have the time on task that Peyton Ramsey does. They've never gone through a game week knowing, okay, I'm going to be the starter, and here's how I have to prepare. Here's what I have to do in film room. Here are the tasks I have to get completed on the Monday, on the Tuesday, on the Wednesday. Here's what I have to be comfortable grasping and practice by this day or this day or this day. Just the basic stuff that you and I probably don't think about because we don't follow, you know, a starting quarterback around all day, every day during a season. And because he's not going to sit there and give you every mundane detail of his life in an interview setting, but the stuff that if a quarterback can't go through that checklist and feel confident in all of those things he's crossing off, he's probably not going to be ready for Saturday. Again, if it's Ramsey, then it's just like, hey, this guy's done it for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years now. He's fine. You know, we'll be fine. If it's either of those young guys, Jack Cuttle or Michael Penix, then you've got to start building that foundation of experience of how to get ready week after week for a game. And so I think that's I don't know if it's a weakness so much as it's you just if you're Indiana, you need to be confident in the way you're moving forward sooner rather than later. Not, you know, I don't want to demean Ball State, but if you should be able, as good as I think Indiana is, to beat Ball State with any of those three quarterbacks. But you get Ball State and Eastern Illinois. Then Ohio State comes to town and you know, the business end of the schedule sort of begins. And then you get UConn at home in a game you can't lose. And then it's straight into the rest of your Big Ten schedule. So you need to be able to give that guy, if it is one of the two freshmen, a real sort of foundation of experience by the time you get to week three. And so I think that it's going to be important for Indiana, like I said, to just be confident moving forward between – you know, with whoever is the starting quarterback between now and August 31st.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star on IU basketball, the vacant assistant coaching position, recruiting, football, and a lot more. Again, a busy time this week and in really all future weeks with school back in session and the football season about to officially begin. And, of course, always lots of basketball topics to talk about that go on. But a busy time. Zach, always glad to kick off our week with you on the program. And thanks for all the great insight. As always, we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us, as always, on this Monday edition of the program. Before we go to a commercial break, I do want to mention, had a lot of fun Saturday night at the IU Southeast Champions Dinner. It took place at Huber's Orchard and Winery, the same place that the IU Varsity Club holds its Southern Indiana stop back in the springtime with Archie Miller and Tom Allen and others from IU Athletics. But a great event. It was a fundraiser for scholarships at IU Southeast for the various athletics programs. And we at WXVW, we got an opportunity to go out there and participate as the host of what we called a red carpet show presented by Republic Bank. We got to interview some of the award winners as they arrived. We also got to talk with some of the other officials at the school and some of the event sponsors as well. 400-plus people at Huber's on Saturday night for a great cause and a great event for a very competitive local college athletic program at IU Southeast. And I did want to recognize the winners. Got to interview all three of the winners in the program, our pre-show on Saturday night. But Jamie Johnson played high school basketball at Central High School in Louisville for Doug Bibby. He was named the 2019 Male Athlete of the Year at IU Southeast after a great career as a Grenadier. Also on the female side, the women's side, Emily Weiss was the 2019 Female Athlete of the Year. She was a key part of the softball team under the direction of Joe Witten that went on to have a very good year, including a nice little run in the postseason as well. And one of my favorite awards, because of who it's named after, Jim Morris, the longtime men's basketball coach, also athletic director as well at IU Southeast. A number of years ago, they named an award after him that's handed out at the Champions Dinner. It's the Champion of Character honoree, and it's got his name on that award. And the 2019 Jim Morris Champion of Character honoree was Sidney Sager, another softball player who very active both in and outside of sports on the IU Southeast campus. So congratulations to those winners. There were some other alumni that were recognized as well. It's also kind of a get-together for alumni before the actual Champions Dinner begins, kind of an alumni outing. There were lots of great community businesses and individuals involved in the program on Saturday night, but it was a great time, and we were glad to be there. A lot of fun to catch up with some of these award winners from the IU Southeast Champions Dinner Saturday night out at Huber's. And again, thanks to Republic Bank. They were the big event sponsor, but also sponsor of our red carpet show here on the Big X. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. We'll talk some local sports headlines, including the start of high school football and more with Chad after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Monday program. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown athletic director and also an IHSAA executive board member. He joins me Mondays. We talk local sports headlines here in Southern Indiana. And Chad, a big, exciting week for high school sports, specifically high school's football. Everything gets underway officially on Friday night. A lot of schools, I think every area school, had a scrimmage against another team this past Friday to tune up. Of course, really the score isn't kept, but you can get a sense of what teams are working on and what they're trying to accomplish in some of the scrimmages. But now it's go time. Week one is here. We'll be previewing some of the big games throughout the week, including on our Kentuckiana High School Football Kickoff Show later this week. But this is an exciting week, Chad, for athletic directors, coaches, players, parents, and, of course, the great fans here in Southern Indiana.
Matt, it is an absolutely busy week for ADs because you're getting ready for your first home game, home football game. All the sports start up this weekend. You know, your first live contest for all your fall sports were Saturday. So it's now for real. You've got your physicals in, your transfers in. You're making sure all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. So it's busy for the AD. And this time of the year, the fall is by far the busiest on the AD's plate. But that being said, there is a lot of excitement. Before we talk about that, I did want to hit you a little bit on the IUS event. What a great time that is. You know, it's a good time for people to reconnect with old teammates, old coaches, alumni, and friends. You know, that's a great thing they do over there. And that's something, you know, that I think is what makes sports special is your time for to be able to reconnect with people. But you talked about football a little bit. You know, scrimmages, Matt, is even in basketball. When we used to have our scrimmages, we'd practice on the day of the scrimmage because we felt like that we didn't want to give a day of practice up in order to play that scrimmage that night. And what we did really that was the most beneficial out of the scrimmage, if it was a road game, we practiced on how we're going to ride the bus. You know, what we needed packed for that road game, how we're going to behave, how we're going to get off and warm up once we get to the school. And if it's a home game, you know, we did the same thing, you know, making sure our names are in the book, making sure that everyone's properly equipped, making sure that we had our pregame 20-minute warm-up down. And I think a lot of that stuff is a good thing for the scrimmage. As far as the games itself, let's take football, for instance. They've been practicing since second week in July. So the time that they have right now, they've scrimmaged, you know, every week in July. So it's not near as fanfare as what I should say. And you don't know who's going to show what, what team's going to show what they have. But I'm going to tell you, Matt, the Pirates looked very well against Floyd Central. They were physical. Charlestown was physical. They were disciplined. And I think that's a good showing, a good confidence builder coming into week one. But, you know, after a couple weeks of play, I think you'll be able to see who's who. I think things will shake out a little bit. New Albany and Jeff, I looked at the schedule. Their game has moved up earlier this year than years past when it's later. And then we start off this week with the Battle of 403, you know, something that I think our parents, the Silver Creek's parents, has kind of created that more than anything, just to get a little bit of excitement, a little bit of rivalry into it. You know, I looked at it the last eight games. Charlestown is 7-1 against Silver Creek, and I'm sure Silver Creek knows that, and I know Charlestown knows that. But I think it's going to be a lot of excitement out there to get fans involved, to get kids to come out, and just to get a little bit of a good atmosphere for kids to play in, because I think it is something that you want to make memories that are going to last kids throughout their lifetime.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD and IHSAA board member with me. I was going to ask you a little bit about Charlestown Silver Creek. We touched on it last week, and we're going to have both head coaches on our Kentuckiana High School kickoff show later this week to learn a lot more about the scrimmages and how things are going in the week of this big season opening game for both programs. But that is an athletic director's dream. We've mentioned this before. A great rivalry, two schools just down the road from each other, two schools where football means a lot, and some interesting storylines when you look at the coaching staffs. Of course, Coach Pappenhaus, a former Charlestown assistant. Coach Hawkins actually left Charlestown and went to Silver Creek for a season, then came back to Charlestown. So some interesting ties there between the two programs, and it'll be lots of fun Friday night for everybody at that one.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It is an athletic director's dream. Anytime you get to host those type of games, let me tell you this, it's stressful leading up to it. But afterwards, when you get that gate, you know, which could be in the ballpark, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 gate, which is a pretty good chunk to start off your school year, it's worth it. But all of the things that lead up to it, Matt, whether it's seating, whether it's making sure your ambulance is there, making sure your press box is up to date, making sure your lights work, making sure your scoreboard works, there's a lot of stress involved in that, especially when you know that big game is coming up. We have that on week two. We host Brownstown at home, and we'll expect a big crowd against Brownstown coming here. And it's something that it is stressful, but when you have that turnout, I think it's fun for the community, and I know it's fun for the kids. You know, kids like to play in front of big crowds. They like the camaraderie amongst playing. They like the competition, but they like the attention of people knowing who they are, people coming to games, people getting behind not only an individual, but behind that team, and creating something special. And again, like we talked about, Matt, with Coach Pappenhaus and Coach Hawkins, guys that have worked together, they're going to know each other's schemes. They're going to know each other's personnel. And it's just a matter of going out there, playing, executing, and hoping that no one gets hurt.
Chad, you know, I think even Coach Hawkins said this at our high school football media day a couple of weeks ago. And I totally get why a coach would have this mindset, but as a media person, as a fan, and you sitting there as an athletic director that wants to see a great turnout, I like the idea of scheduling a rivalry game out of the gate, because it's week one. People are already on an uptick about football that may normally not pay as much attention about it once you get 2, 3, 4 weeks into the season. And when you draw a rivalry like that to start things off, I think you just do a great job in creating a good build-up, a special environment for the student-athletes, and you mentioned as the schools need money and to fund their athletic program for the rest of the way, that can really help out. So Charlestown, Silver Creek, one of those games that I'm sure the coaches might say it's not an ideal way to start the season, but I think about missing this year New Albany Providence, which is no longer a game in high school football. That was always an opener as well. Week one will be fun. It's always fun when the teams start off on a fresh campaign, but that Charlestown Silver Creek game with Providence, New Albany no longer on the docket, at least for right now, that really is a kind of takes the cake, I think, in the area as far as where everybody's attention will be Friday night. Love the idea, I guess is what I'm getting at. Love the idea of big rivalries out of the gate to pack it in there the best you can.
Well, yeah, it's no doubt it'll be the showcase game this Friday. It'll be on the highest level. It'll be one that will create a lot of interest, just not within the two communities, but outside the school district as well. And it's something that, like you said, Matt, you got to play each other at some time. But with the way the schedule is, the calendar rolls up, you know, Labor Day weekend, a lot of people get out of town. So that Friday might not be as great a gate. With fall break, some fall breaks, you could actually have three Fridays where people are on fall break if you have a two-week fall break. The Friday they leave, the Friday of the end of the first week, and then the Friday of the end of the second week. And that really hurts your gate if you have a couple of home games on there with the way fall break is now. So every ticket counts. And the more people come out and get involved with it, the more fun it is for the kids. Like you said, that first week, I think it's the opportunity to really show a lot of excitement and really get behind your teams.
Chad Gilbert joining us. Chad's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. I don't have anything specific to bring up when I talk about basketball in the area. And, of course, how can we talk about high school basketball, someone might say, when high school football begins this week. But, Chad, each day when I talk about Trey Kaufman and some of the other in-state players and area players that have had big summers, whether Indiana's involved recruiting them or not, we are really set for some fun months ahead in the winter once high school football and the fall sports come to a conclusion. Trey Kaufman obviously is going to lead the way, added a scholarship offer recently from Louisville, Indiana, Purdue. The list grows for him, and it's going to continue to grow. I think everybody knows that. But even away from him, Trey Coleman at Jeffersonville, Will Lovings Watts at Jeffersonville, doing some big things as a youngster in our area. Jake Heidbreeder at Floyd Central, hard to talk about top players in the area and not mention everything that he got done this summer. And I'm leaving a whole bunch out as well. There are a number of really good players right now. We're just at a good cycle for talent in Southern Indiana, and I'm really excited to get closer to the basketball season and really excited to see the upcoming season get here because we just have some good talent at a number of area teams, and it's going to be very interesting. I get excited, Chad, when I think about it. Probably get way too early on some of this stuff, but, man, it's going to be a good year, a good couple years with some young talent here in the area.
Matt, we are putting the cart in front of the horse a little bit, and I know we both like basketball, but it is an opportunity for fall sports to get their thing going, and we appreciate that. But you said that about Trey Kaufman. His mom teaches right around the room, right around the corner from my office here, so it's good to be able to go and talk to her and just ask her where they are in the process and how much they're enjoying it. And, that, you know, talking to her, that kid's just a workaholic. He wants to be in the gym all the times to get better, and that's what you have to do to be successful. You mentioned some other kids that are going to have some great years. I think what you have is so much parity that there's no nights off. I think Southwestern Hanover has a lot of kids back looking to make a nice run. I know North Harrison with Lou up there. I think the Hatton kid up there is about 6'10" and has gotten some offers as well. There's no, you know, and teams are going to be battle-tested. Looking at their schedules from last year and what they've gotten this year, there's no nights off. And I think when you have top players like the ones you mentioned, you talked about the Jeff kids, the kid from Floyd Central, that they want to play the best players you can play every time you step on the court. And I think that the coaches have done a good job working with their ADs and scheduling opponents that will make them battle-tested come March. And I think that's what that whole thing's about. One thing, Matt, that begins next week is limited contact. Once we get back from Labor Day is limited contact. So we got the next 2 weeks that, you know, you're just doing conditioning. You can't do anything with a ball. But after that, you've got 2 weeks that you can go 2 hours a day, 2 days a week. And I think you can see coaches, I'll have another year on that they'll be able to do things a little bit different and tweak them from what they did the year before that may be able to bring them a little bit farther along. But you don't want to peak come November. You don't want to peak at Christmas time. You know, you want to continually getting better and not play against your opponent, but play against play against the process, play against the standard that you've set for your team and see if you can accomplish those goals that you've set out every night. Every coach has the goals on the blackboard, what they want to do, on how many rebounds they want to have, what free throw percentage they want to shoot, how many assists they want to have. Those are the goals. Those are the games that you want to win, the ones that are on the chalkboard that the coach sets for those players. I think that the players have that mindset that they're competing against that and not the opponent. Because when you get competing against the opponent, there's so many other factors that come into play. As a player, you have to control what you can control.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSAA Executive Board Member. Is always fun. As always, Chad, fun to talk some local sports with you and get geared up for week one of high school football. Look forward to a conversation on our Kentuckiana Football Friday's kickoff show with Jason Hawkins, the coach at your place at Charlestown, and, of course, Coach Pappenhaus as well from Silver Creek to preview that big game, our game of the week to start the high school football season, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
Man, I appreciate it. Appreciate everything you do for Southern Indiana Sports. I had a Heavenly Ham sandwich again. My gosh, those things are good. One shout-out, though, I do have to – I know you. I like giving a shout-out here and there. I ran across an old Charlestown fan who has New Albany season tickets, a guy, again, that I've known through sports, who made sports special for me, Mark Briscoe. I ran across him Saturday. He said, "Man, I've listened to your show every Monday. You've never given me a shout-out." So I wanted to give him one shout-out for thanks for being a good fan to Charlestown, New Albany sports, and just a high school sports fan and in general, Matt. And that's what makes it special for our kids.
That's great. Chad Gilbert, our guest. Chad, thanks as always. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSAA Executive Board Member. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. On Tuesday, we always have Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. Also, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. More IU football stuff this week as well as we gear up for that season. And, of course, again, lots of high school football talk as we get ready for week one on Friday night. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget to check out the podcast on SoundCloud, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Or in Apple Podcast. I'll catch you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.